starts for Sefer Dvarim. Eila Dvarim, these are the words. Halacha, so unusual or not so usual for the Medrash. There we go. The Medrash usually doesn't talk about halacha. The Tanchuma sometimes mentions a halacha and it introduces by saying that we're talking about a halacha. So the Medrash Rabbah does it here. Halacha. So it's a very strange phrase in the Medrash right here. But it says, a person from Yisrael So one thing that we could learn right away from here is that it's not mutter for a Torah to be written by a non-Jew. But, which is the halacha, but, is it mutter, are you allowed to write a Torah in a language other than Hebrew? So, kach shanu chachamim, this is what our sages taught. Ein bein sram letfilin mezuzos, ela shasram nichtavim b'chol lashon. So, to Mishnah from Megillah, that the difference between a Sefer Torah on one hand and Tefillin and Mezuzos on the other hand is that a Sefer Torah could be written in any language, but Tefillin and Mezuzos could only be written in Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Afas Farim Lohitir Sheikasvu Eli Yevanis. Rabbi Gamliel says, even Sefer Torah, they only permitted it to be written in Greek, not in any other language. So it could be written in one foreign language, but that only foreign language is Greek. We'll see in a moment why that is. Kach limdu raboseinu, So what's the reason for Rabbi Gamliel that you're allowed to write a Torah in Greek? So our sages taught that Bar Kapara said, the Pasuk says in the Parshas Noach, after Noach was cursing his son Shem, he said, he gave a bracha, Yafta lokim liyafes vishkan ba'alei Shem. So the word yafes is similar to the word yafeh, which is nice or beautiful. So it's a Hashem should do nice for Yafes, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Excuse me, Noach cursed Cham, Chas Hashem, he didn't curse Shem, he cursed Cham. So the drasha on that pasuk is that the words of Shem should be said in the language of Yafes. So the words of Shem, which is the Torah, because we're descendants from Shem, Avram is a descendant of Shem, shall be said in the language of Yafes. So therefore, that way, Yafes is dwelling in the tents of Shem. So we know from Yaakov and from other places that the tent, when the Torah says tent, it can be it talks about the tents of Torah. So Yafes was the forefather of Greeks. Of the Greek, so the Greek language can be in the Batei Medrash because the Sefer Torah could be written in Greek. So lekach itiru sheikasu b'lashon Yevanis. Therefore, they permitted it, the Torah to be written in Greek. Now, there's an interesting machlokas Rishonim, and this was pointed out to me by Rabbi Stanley Krantman, who's a friend of Rav Moshe, who lives in St. Louis. That there's a machlokas, I forget if it's between the Rach and the Rambam, or who exactly it was, but he says if you look closely, I think the Rambam, when he talks about that, to write the Torah in Greek, he says that you're writing it not in the language of Greek, but only in Greek letters. So you're only writing a transliteration. Let's see if we can find this quickly. So we pass in Vav Lamav. Huh. So the Rambam says we don't write tefillin and mezuzah except in the Ashuri print, which is the Torah, the print, the letters that our Sefer Torah written it. But v'hitiru b'sfarim lichtov af yivani bovad, they allowed Sefer Torah to be written even in Greek, but only Greek, no other language. But that Greek has already been lost, so we're nowadays we can also write a Sefer Torah in. We cannot write Sefer Torah in the Greek because the Greek that we have wasn't the real Greek. So I think he brought it from somewhere else, but from the context here, from the fact that he's talking about the font that we're writing it in, the letters. So when it says that you can write a Torah in Yevanis, it means Greek letters. So he says so it's not that you could write a Sefer Torah translated in Greek language, but only in Greek letters. Whereas some Rishonim do explain that Gemara that it can be written in, actually translated into Greek. Okay, so now the Gemara continues with, the Medrash finished its statement about, the Sefer Torah being written in any other language. And so now, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, see that the Lashon of Torah, how dear is the Lashon of Torah, that it heals the tongue. How do we know this? It says in Mishlei, Marpa Lashon Eitz Chaim, the tree of life heals the tongue. And Eitz Chaim means Torah. As we know, Eitz Chaim, Hila B'Chazikibah, the Torah is a tree of life to those who grasp onto it. And the language of Torah unties the Lashon. So meaning if you have someone, I guess, we'll see why, but if someone had wasn't able to speak, when they're getting to Torah, they're able to speak. You should know that in the future, Hashem is going to bring from Gan Eden, it says bring up, I don't know if Gan Eden sunk somewhere, but the Medrash says he's going to bring up these praiseworthy trees. And what's so special about these trees that they heal the tongue? As the pasuk says in Yechezka, Ve'al hanachal yala al svaso mizeh mizeh, and from the river will from the banks on both sides, it'll come up on his tongue. Excuse me, Ve'al hanachal yala al svaso mizeh mizeh, along the stream around the river there, on either side there's going to be stuff growing. So how do we know that it's going to heal the tongue? So the pasuk says there in Yechezkel, "V'hayapir yolamachal v'aleu litrufa," its fruit will be for food, and its leaves, the leaves will be trufa. So what's trufa mean? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, chad amar litarfion. What says is trafion, which according to a commentator, we switch the tuf and the tes, and that's similar to the. Well, actually, he says it means food. The Art School translates here, I'm not sure why, but that the commentators say it's food. So it says that it's like a medicine. I don't know why it says that exactly, but and the other opinion said, anyone who was incapable of speech, and they would start chewing and swallowing from these leaves, his tongue will be healed, and it will become moist immediately with words of Torah. As the pasuk says, mizeh umizeh. So the simple explanation of the pasuk is that from either side of the river, there's going to be trees growing, mizeh umizeh, from this side and that side. But the Medrash says mizeh umizeh refers to Torah, because the pasuk says, how are the luchos written? Mizeh umizeh heim ksuvim. The luchos were written from either side. You can see it from the front or from the back. So when it says mizeh umizeh, it's talking about words of Torah. Rabbi Levi says, why do we have to learn it from somewhere else, from this pasuk in Yechezkel? Why don't we learn it from closer, that Torah can heal the words of Torah can heal the tongue? Because Moshe, before he received the Torah, he says, I'm not a man of words. But once he merited the Torah, his tongue was healed, and he began to speak many words, as we see reading right here, Eila Hadvarim, these are the words that Moshe spoke. So Moshe was able to speak for so long, it's because of the Torah. Now there are some other opinions about this. I mean, it's a famous question, because what happened now, Moshe... It ends up that Moshe was speaking for several months, or not necessarily today, but he was giving these long speeches every day for several months before he died. So if Moshe... So first of all, there's a medrash about his speech impediment that it's probably not to be taken literally, but he knocked the crown off of Paro because, you know, Paro's daughter, according to the medrash... it's according to the Chumash. But Bas Paro... took him, saw him in the water, and took him in. So the Medrash says that he knocked off Paro's crown, and so Paro was all nervous because he thought that it meant that Moshe was going to overthrow him. So his advisor said let's take a thing of jewels and let's take a thing of hot coals, which are so glowing and colorful. Let's see which one he goes for. If he's going for the jewels, it means he is going to overthrow you. But if he's going for the hot coals, he's just, you know, looking for something sparkly and shiny. So the Medrash says baby Moshe was reaching for the coals, and the Malach moved it to the coals so that Paro wouldn't kill him. And then because it was so hot, he put it to his tongue, and it gave him a speech impediment. So what does that Medrash mean? I don't know, but probably not to be taken literally. But Moshe did say, lo ish dvarim, I'm not a man of words. So some explain that he did have some type of speech problem. So then how was he able to speak for so long, whether dvarim or even before now? So one interesting explanation is that before Har Sinai, it says that everyone was healed because people were in perfect physical condition in order to receive the Torah. Someone playing with a laser?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Make sure we're not in the crosshairs here. Because of that the people who were going to receive the Torah were in peak physical condition, Moshe's speech problem was healed. I think Rashi says it in Bishalach. Some other people explain that Moshe was only complaining about his speech when he was supposed to go to Paro. So some say that Moshe had not a speech problem, but a language problem, and he wasn't so good at speaking in Egyptian, which is kind of weird that he, who grew up being adopted by Paro's house, he had trouble speaking Egyptian, whereas Aaron, who lived with the Jews all the time, would do better Egyptian. So, and it's a bit of a, it's, but that's an answer that other people bring. So that's how the Medrash starts for Sefer Dvarim.